Jesus asked. They replied, "See to it that we sit next to you, one at your right hand and one at your left, when you come into your glory." Jesus told them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I will drink, or be baptized in the same baptism as I?" "Yes," they replied. Jesus said in response, "From the cup I drink of, you will drink. The baptism I am immersed in, you will share. But as far as sitting at my right or my left, that is not mine to give. It is for those to whom it has been reserved." The other 10, on hearing this, became indignant at James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know how among the Gentiles, those who seem to exercise authority are domineering and arrogant? Those great ones know how to make their importance felt. It cannot be like that with you. Anyone among you who aspires to greatness must serve the rest. Whoever wants to rank first among you must serve the needs of all. The promised one has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give one life in ransom for many." The good news of salvation. Well, just a quick word for the children that we have with us today. It's really nice to see you, Tori and James and Ben and Hannah and Leah somewhere. So one of the things that I think God wants us to hear is that in the world, popularity can be about a lot of things, right? Like maybe how smart you are, or how pretty you look, or the things that you have. And people kind of look up to people that have a lot, right? And they can become very popular. But in Jesus' eyes, and in the kingdom of God, the people who are the most respected, the most popular, the most precious are those people who serve other people, who are kind to other people, who accept all people and don't lord it over or bully or pressure people into feeling bad about themselves for anything, but help people and stand up for the weakest and the least popular person. And so the nice thing is that in seeing you guys on a regular basis, I really, really think that you're living up to what Jesus is talking about here. I've seen you care for each other as brothers and sisters here in this community. And I've heard your parents boast about what a kind person most of you are. So I just want you to know that Jesus is really proud of you for that kind of behavior and wants you to keep that up, okay? And you know what? The grown-ups have a lot to learn from you guys as well. So we'll look to you as examples of how to be great in God's kingdom. Okay? So, speaking of service, today is known as Ministry Sunday because of this gospel that we're called as Christians. It's kind of a Christian vocation to serve. And we had three people, actually we had about seven, eight people besides the clergy, attend our Holy Synod. And those of you who are new, this is a progressive Catholic church. This is a part of a communion of Catholic communities all across the country and in many other places in the world. So these communities all gathered together in a holy gathering called a synod this past weekend, and it just happened to be this year in Estes Park, Colorado, where the weather was absolutely stunningly and unusually warm and beautiful. And we saw other people just like us who have Catholic roots, most of us, and yet have broken out of some of the limitations and say all are welcome here, regardless, that all of you have the potential to be great, regardless. So what we're going to do today is invite three people who participated as observers in the synod. They didn't have to go. We have delegates who kind of volunteered and then really had to go. They'll be talking next week. But our people who went as observers will be sharing some of their insights as going and kind of looking in on this meeting and what they thought was most important to them and stood out, kind of their highlights and whatever they feel like sharing with you this morning. So I'd like to invite Maureen Dion, our first observer, to come up and share with you her insights and remembrances from the Holy Synod. Now, look at these guys. She gave me this look of terror. They're not so scary, are they? They're kind of nice.
There they are.
I know most of them, not all of them.
I know.
Okay.
Well, Mother Alice gave us directions that we were supposed to reflect on the readings and then think about what we wanted to take away from the synod. So as I reflected on today's readings, I was struck by the words in the letter to the Hebrews to find help in time of need. And this is why I came to the Church of the Beloved on June 17th, 2023. I was in need of two things, Eucharist and community, and I found both. I wanted to attend the synod to see if Church of the Beloved was unique or if the larger communion was as welcoming, as inclusive, and as equal as they are here. You see, I've been around the block a few times, and I know that individual communities can be welcoming and inclusive and stress equality, but the larger church may not be. So I went to the synod and I saw people from the larger church. So I saw people from all over the country, as Mother Alice mentioned, from Florida to Washington State, from Wisconsin to Texas. And it was just like being here, only bigger. It was difficult for me to choose what stuck out for me at the synod, because besides the people, there were many things: the keynote talks, the morning and evening prayer, the conversations. But as I reflected on today's gospel, the line, "Anyone who wants to rank first among you must serve all. The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve." And all I could see was Bishop Pablo. For those of you who weren't there or did not tune in to the Sunday liturgy, he had a shared homily. And the first person to share was in a wheelchair and could not use the AMBO mic. Pablo tried to take it down, but I knew he couldn't because the ribbons that hung down were wrapped around the mic because no one had any tape.
Remember a torch thing? Yeah. That's those ribbons.
When he realized that he would destroy the AMBO decor, he got down on his knees next to the wheelchair to share his mic with her. It brought tears to my eyes. The second thing that touched me was how there were people who were on call to drive the people who were less able to the different venues throughout the synod. I also wondered if the claim of equality was really true, and I saw that it was when they met in the three houses to vote on the budget. I witnessed that it didn't matter whether they were laity, priest, or bishop. All had to agree to what was presented. I am so grateful that I attended the Synod so I could see the big picture of the ECC and to know that it isn't just our community that practices hospitality, inclusivity, and equality, but the entire communion does too. Thank you.
And now, Linda Landclausen, will you come up and share your thoughts with us?
Is that better?
Much.
Okay. As Mother Alice said, my name is Linda Landclausen, and I don't know many of you yet because I'm new to the ECC. Prior to the Synod, the couple of times I attended service here and a few conversations I had with Bishop Pablo were my only knowledge points. So I wanted to know and experience more by going to the Synod. What follows are some of my synodal experiences in dialogue with today's readings. Need to take these off. Well, I read the introductory section to the New Testament book from which our second reading comes today, the book of Hebrews. I was struck by this description. The author saw the addressees in danger of apostasy from their Christian faith. This danger was due not to any persecution from outsiders, but to a weariness with the demands of Christian life and a growing indifference to their calling. Best scholarly guesses are that the author of Hebrews was alive around the time of Paul, so not too long after the life of Christ. I find myself astounded that people alive so early in this movement already felt weary about living the Christian life. From almost 2,000 years on, the simplicity and humility called for in the Gospels seems so much closer at hand, so much more accessible then than they do now. And yet, these people struggled. Weariness is real. It was real then, and it is real now. This life to which we are called, the life of contemplation, discernment, and service, is hard work. It's holy work, but it's hard. And the rewards sometimes seem few and far between. So how and why do we keep going? The gospel reading today reminds us that we keep going by retaining our humanity, by making mistakes like asking to sit at Jesus's right and left side, and by being together differently. Unfortunately, and fortunately, we have no choice but to keep being our insecure and wounded selves. But by being together differently through love, we can also challenge ourselves to turn our fears and wounds into acts of service instead of defenses. Together, we have the possibilities to face, persist through, and transform, but not transcend, our humanness and the weariness that can come with being human. During the Synod, I witnessed people trying to be together differently. I heard frustrations rise and fingers point during our visioning session. And I heard a priest interject a call to grace and generosity by asking that we presume the best of each other. I witnessed iterations of the lived gospel ranging from small house churches that don't want to grow to large international and vibrant communities. And I witnessed people openly debating whether some ways of living the gospel in community are better than others. I heard fear and confusion about the future of the ECC summed up in the question of whether we are an experiment that has seen its time. And I heard resilience, faith, and commitment in the face of the unknowns. At the Synod, I encountered people doing the hard daily work of being together differently, of living with vulnerability, authenticity, courage, love, faith, and, importantly, imperfection. My post-synod prayer is that the ECC will remain committed to doing this transformational and sacred work together.
And now I invite Dennis up, who is not only an observer, but when Father Frank could not attend or had to go home, he wasn't feeling well and had to go home, Dennis stood in as a delegate, which he has served for many times in the past, to the House of Pastors. So here's Dennis.
So I do want to say that I had a conversation with Mother Alice, I think it was two nights ago, and she asked if I would stand up here and give my impressions of the Synod. My answer was no. That didn't work, obviously. Here I am. And, you know, to kind of follow on what Mother Alice talked about being a delegate, my intention was not to be a delegate, but to serve at this Synod. But with Father Frank getting sick, I volunteered, actually. I knew that we needed an additional person, or we would like to have an additional person there, and got clearance, and I was able to do that. So I had a unique perspective. You know, as a layperson, I don't normally see what happens in the House of Pastors, and the collegiality there was amazing. Everybody on the same level, everybody talking, just wonderful to see. But for me, the best part of the Synod actually was not being a full-fledged delegate. It was being able to serve on the liturgical items committee, and to help set up for our liturgy. As Maureen found out, we do tend to do things a little bit by the seat of our pants at times. And this was no exception, but it came off beautifully, I feel. It was, liturgy at Synod is always amazing and wonderful. If you ever get a chance to go to Synod, you will surely see that. But the second thing, even better, was I got to know some people a little bit deeper than I have before. A lot of familiar faces, a lot of people that I knew, but able to sit down and talk with them. And in my case, I was one of the drivers taking people around, which was great. You know, being at altitude and like that, there's some people who are not able to maneuver that far. So fill up the car and drive them to where they need to be. So it was one of the more fun experiences I've had at Synod, you might say. Fun is not the correct word, but it was really, really enjoyable, and I appreciated the opportunity to be up there, to meet with everybody, to talk with them, to help out in any way I could, and to renew the relationships that I had developed over the years with people both here in the Rocky Mountain region, but also across the country. So, thanks.
Thank you, Dennis. So I'm sure that Bishop Kay and myself will have an opportunity to share as we go along too. One of the biggest points, I mean, there's so many, as people said, moments, but there was a speaker, the first keynote speaker, who really put together in words in a way that we hadn't heard before, because he's not inside the ECC, who he sees us to be from the outside. And it was so refreshing to hear that description. So we won't say a whole lot about it because it's been recorded and it's being like digitalized and fixed up, and we'll be sharing it with you. And we'll want to hear if you think that his words resonated with you about who we are as much as it did with us. But a big theme of it was that there is just this thread in our communion all across the world of service and social justice and pursuing those people who are left out and left by the wayside, and the people that Jesus went up to, and a connection with that. Not for that everyday holiness is about us being holy in our lives, in our workplaces, as we're driving the car, how we consider people with patience, and so forth. So I know you guys know I can go on. I will stop. But it really was a beautiful thing. So our next synod will be in 2026, and we did hear that it will be in Minneapolis-St. Paul area. So begin praying now to see if you are being called to be a delegate in a couple years with us. So let us now proceed, because we did go over, we'll really try, and our guest people, we have several guests who have never been here before and a couple in the sanctuary and on Zoom. We don't usually, our masses are usually an hour. We don't go much over. But looking at the clock now, we'll probably be able to end by a quarter after, okay? So just to, you know, not scare you away by it being a little bit longer mass. This was more unusual, okay? All right, so let's go on to our prayers of the faithful, and I invite Shannon